the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation, and as always, it's great to be with you. We'd like to start off our conversation, as always, by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. Mary is also the Mother of each and every one of us. And we call out to Mary as we pray the Hail Holy Queen. Mary indeed is, she's our life. She's our sweetness and our hope. So let's turn to Mary and beg her to be with us, to pray for us, to encourage us, to help us to love Christ more and more every day, all the days of our lives. Let's pray the prayer that Mary loves most. That's the Hail Mary. Together. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now let's invite to be with us our spiritual director. Our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit. Among the many titles of the Holy Spirit would be the following. The Holy Spirit is the Paraclete. Holy Spirit is also known as the gift of gifts. Holy Spirit is also known as the sweet guest of our souls. Holy Spirit is also known as our counselor, as well as our consoler. Holy Spirit is also known as the sweet guest of the soul. Among the other titles of the Holy Spirit would be our sanctifier. We're really striving to grow in holiness. The Holy Spirit is key to this. Also, the Holy Spirit is he's also our consoler. We'll lay the prayer. The Holy Spirit is our interior master or teacher. St. Paul in his letter to the Romans says that we really don't know how to pray as we ought. All of us at times struggle in our prayer life. That's right. All of us at times struggle in our prayer life. But the Holy Spirit can help us. St. Paul says that the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say Abba, which means Daddy or Father. So let's beg the Holy Spirit to give us a lot of light in our intellect and fire in our hearts, fire in our wills, as we say. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. World without end. Amen. Our Lady of the Rosary, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Francis Xavier, pray for us. Saint Teresa of Avila, pray for us. Saint Jacinto and Francisco, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. How true it is, my friends, the family that prays together stays together. That's the way we begin our perseverant family conversation every morning, by praying together. Family that prays together stays together. So I'd like to start off our day by praying, but also I promise to pray for all of you in your intentions. I'd like to place on the altar in the Mass these following intentions. First, I'd like to pray that all of us would be open and docile to the workings of the Holy Spirit. That's right. That we'd be open and docile to the workings of the Holy Spirit. Our sanctification depends in large part upon our being docile and open to the Holy Spirit. We might even pray this prayer, short but powerful. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. To the heart of Mary. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. To the heart of Mary. My second intention I'd like to pray for all of us, that we would be good teachers of the faith, especially to those who we have charge over. You'd be good teachers to your children in the way of faith. The primary teachers of the children are the parents. This means it's incumbent upon us to keep growing in our faith. And that's one of the reasons why we come together every day, is we want to get to grow deeper in our knowledge of sacred scripture, church teachings, the catechism of the Catholic Church, the Bible, how we can apply it to our lives, and the lives of the saints, how the saints can be truly our teachers, our models, our guides. As today we have one of the greatest saints in the Catholic Church. We'll be talking about this saint today, related also to the Gospel. And my last intention, as is our custom, is I'd like to pray with you for the conversion of sinners, the conversion of, especially of deathbed sinners, the conversion of deathbed sinners. Many will die today. Many today are maybe not in the grace of God. Let's pray that they would open up their hearts beg for mercy and return to God so that they will be saved. Those are intentions we'll place on the altar today in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Yes, my friends, this month of October is a month in which we honor Mary in a very special way. The month of October is the month of the Holy Rosary. Also in October, we celebrate the feast day of the Holy Rosary on October 7th. On October 12th is the feast day of Our Lady the Pillar. October 13th is when we call to mind Our Lady of Fatima. And the last apparition of Our Lady of Fatima was the sun, the miracle of the sun, spinning in the sky, zigzagging back and forth. And the children seeing Saint Joseph, Our Lord is a man, Our Lady of Sorrows, and then finally Our Lady of Mount Carmel. So being in the middle of October, let's make sure that we try to grow in our devotion to Mary. Well, there's good news. Last Tuesday, my new book came out, and it's a Marian Compendium of Devotions, which hopefully you all be able to purchase as soon as possible. People really like it. We had copies in our office, and they were sold almost immediately. I think you'll get a lot out of this book, which I combine dogma and doctrine to devotion, devotion to Marian apparitions, beautiful art. And the last part of this book would be on Marian prayers. A lot of Marian prayers that we're able to put together at the end of this book. So my friends, today I'd like to enter into our topic. St. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, summary of what he says today is, God gave Christ as head over all things to the church, which is his body. So if we want to be united in Christ today, it's through his body, the church. How interesting it is, at the end of our life of our Lord, his last words were, he says, I will be with you always until the end of the world. And then he ascends into heaven. It seems to be paradoxical that he says he's going to be with us until the end of the world, then he ascends into heaven. So how is he present to us? He's present to us through the church. The church is his mystical body. So Paul will point out, we encounter Christ. He's the head. He's the head of the body. The body is the church. In the Gospel today, Jesus is speaking about future persecutions. But Jesus says, don't worry. Don't worry about what you're going to say. The Holy Spirit will tell you what you're supposed to say. So relying upon the Holy Spirit. We're going to see how in the life of Saint Teresa of Avila, how she relied upon the Holy Spirit. In the life of Saint Joan of Arc, a great saint, the Inquisition was questioning her, trying to trap her. They asked her, "Are you in the state of grace?" And she said, "If I am, thanks be to God. If I'm not, may God place me there." Wow, talk about the working of the Holy Spirit. Even the best of theologians could not have responded with such accuracy. "Are you in the state of grace? If I am, thanks be to God. If I'm not, may God place me there." So let's move into the saint that we celebrate today, having as a background St. Paul's speaking about Christ as the head of the church. We're the members. And Christ speaking about persecution, which Teresa of Avila went through quite a bit after she started to reform the Carmelite order, and how the Holy Spirit worked in her life, and how the Holy Spirit wants to work in your life as well as my life. Pope St. John the 23rd, whose feast day was celebrated earlier this month, Pope John the 23rd says that the saints are the masterpieces of the Holy Spirit. I like that. Saints are the masterpieces of the Holy Spirit. The masterpieces. All of us are called to be masterpieces of the Holy Spirit. Let's ask Mary to obtain for us a real outpouring of the Holy Spirit today. Today. So let's move into this great saint. Saint we celebrate today, my friends, is Saint Teresa of Jesus or Saint Teresa of Avila. 2 weeks ago, we celebrated Saint Teresa of Lisieux. They're two separate saints, but they have this in common. They're saints and a great love for Christ. Saint Teresa of Avila is going to be living about 350 years before Saint Therese of Lisieux. So Saint Teresa of Avila was born on March 28th, 1515. And she'll die October 4th, which is the feast of St. Francis of Assisi, 1582. She's canonized in 1622. She's a patron saint of Spain, and even some writers say patron of headaches, those of headaches. But I say especially she's a patron saint of prayer, more than anything else. So, this great saint. Let's beg St. Teresa of Avila to pray for us that she'll become our friend, and especially to help us to go deeper and deeper in our own prayer life. So she's born in Avila into a somewhat wealthy family of 10 children. By means of temperament, she was a friendly person, highly intelligent, joyful, expansive, creative, strong character, had a lot on a human level. Teresa of Avila had it all, as well as a good family upbringing. She liked to dance, she liked to sing, she played the flute, a lot of human gifts. She was a good storyteller. And back 500 years ago, most people did not know how to read. Whereas Teresa of Avila and her mother and father, they all knew how to read. And in the early part of her life, this actually got her into trouble. Because she was not always reading the best books. We can say the same thing about us today with respect to books and the movies and the internet. There's good things as well as the bad. We have to have Ignatian discernment to accept the good and to reject the evil. When she was a child, she had been reading the lives of the saints, and she was impressed with the martyrs. So she wanted to become a martyr. So she and her brother Rodrigo, they got up. They fled from their house so that they could be martyred by the Muslims, by the Moors. That they would be martyred by the Moors so that they would become great saints and martyrs quickly. But their uncle found them and brought them back to their home. Life of Teresa of Avila is very fascinating, and we can identify with her in many ways. She did, like the saints that we've talked about in the past, she was not born a saint. When she was about 12 years of age, as is typical with probably most girls, she got caught up in fashion and romance. Now, very much like Saint Ignatius of Loyola, she started to read the tales of the knights and ladies and love stories. And these filled her mind. She had a very vivid imagination. So what Spaniards call la telenovela, she got caught up in that. So she liked pretty clothes and spent much time taking special care of her hands and hair in order to look beautiful. And she herself declared that if she made up her mind to love someone, it would be forever. We're going to see how she's going to fall in love with someone else. That person she's going to fall in love with is Christ. And she'll grow stronger and stronger in the love for Christ after her conversion until she dies, and she dies a true lover of Christ. You know, my friends, we might even make that decision today. Why not leave everything beside and give ourselves fully and totally to the love of Christ? As is in the common lot of all of us, Teresa of Avila had a good relationship with her mother. But her mother died when she was 15. Her father, fearing that she might choose a wrong path, put her in a convent of nuns. But the very end of her schooling, Saint Teresa was a teenager, she got very sick. Almost to the point of death. When she was recovering, she read the letters of Saint Jerome. Remember, we talked about Saint Jerome as having translated the Bible from Greek and Aramaic into the Vulgate, the Latin, and then eventually the Bible would be translated into our language. She read the letters of Saint Jerome. They helped her out immensely. So she felt that the best way for her to avoid condemnation would become a sister, a nun. So she made this decision, told her father was just very fond of Teresa, did not want to let her go. So Teresa's going to enter the convent of the Carmelite nuns. The Carmelite nuns when she's 20 years of age. By the way, I think that this should be stated, and you can read this in her writings, one of her books is on her own life. It was through the intercession of Saint Joseph that she was healed of this very serious illness. We're going to see the whole of her life, she has great devotion to Saint Joseph, so much so that when she's going to be founding convents, the name of the convent will be San Jose, which is Spanish for Saint Joseph, in honor of this great saint. Now, when she enters, the convent of the Carmelite nuns at 20, it was not the ideal situation. Religious life had to be reformed. Both the women religious as well as the men religious, it had really fallen into decline, into mediocrity. Which there's very little fervor. Now, when she enters in, there were a lot of women that were in the convent. Actually, it was actually overcrowded. But the rules, the original rules of the Carmelites were not being observed. So so-called nuns, what were they doing? Well, not too much. They spent basically most of the day gossiping, entertaining visitors, going on long vacation with friends. In other words, religious life was not observed at all. The world had entered fully into the convent. And Teresa, she basically more or less gave into this. Very little silence, very little time in prayer, a lot of talk, a lot of entertaining, a lot of gossip, In other words, basically women of leisure. And Teresa of Avila basically lived this type of life until for about 18 years. So until she's about 38, She just basically kind of followed the crowd. Then Christ started to speak to her. On one occasion, she received a special grace by this. Some of the workers in the convent, they were transporting a statue of Christ, and they're going to put this statue into storage. And it was a statue of the suffering Christ, the Christ who had the crown of thorns, with the words Ecce Homo. Ecce Homo is Latin. It's the words that Pontius Pilate said when he presented Christ to the crowd, "Behold the man," after Christ had been scourged and crowned with thorns. This statue really impressed Teresa of Avila very, very much. Very much. Very much. This led her to a deeper union with Christ. But Teresa of Avila also received this spiritual insight from the Lord. And it was this. She could no longer live the life of a religious nun dedicated to loving God with all of her heart, mind, soul, and strength by giving in to long conversations with the people of the world, by gossiping, by overeating, by long vacations outside the convent. She could no longer do that. So she was bent upon working on the Reformation of the Carmelite order. So much so that she's eventually going to go to the Pope, ask the Holy Father for permission to set up a more strict order, called the Discalced Carmelites, because the nuns wore sandals instead of shoes. So the Pope gave her permission, and the first of these convents, instead of having a whole huge number of nuns, there were 13 that joined Teresa, her convent, and they lived a life of poverty. Remember earlier, 11 days ago, we spoke about St. Francis of Assisi. He had to go through a conversion too, because St. Francis was very much attached to worldliness, kind of like Teresa of Avila, but in a different way. And Francis liked to dress in an elegant fashion because his father owned a wealthy clothes store. In a certain sense, you see a similarity there in their attachment to the world. So she decided it would be better to just have a smaller number of nuns in the convent, but to live much more strict poverty. They would sleep on straw mats, no comfortable lifestyle. And they would eat no meat. And there would be silence, not a lot of talk. They would support themselves by sewing and spinning so they'd be able to sell clothes to people to support themselves. So in time, Teresa of Avila will found another 16 convents like this. And these convents would be independent of each other, but dedicated to prayer, silence, penance, and a life in which they're really trying to be united to Christ. So, even to this day, if you're to visit Avila in certain places in Spain, you'll be able to see some of the original convents that Teresa of Avila founded. So, she worked at the formation of the women Carmelites. And by the way, this has to be said. There are some of the Carmelite nuns that were violently opposed to Teresa of Avila. So much so when she came back to Avila, they wept. And they were very sad because she was disrupting their comfortable lifestyle. But she was such a holy nun and a dynamic figure and friendly too that she was able to win most of them over. But her battle wasn't over. Because the Carmelite friars, the men, they asked Teresa to help in the reformation of them also. At this time then, Teresa of Avila is going to have a providential encounter that will add to this whole concept of the reformation of her religious life. This providential encounter between Teresa of Avila and this other person will change religious life. And the name of this person is John of the Cross. John of the Cross. John of the Cross was, she called him the little friar. He was a small man. John of the Cross was younger than Teresa of Avila. But they basically, Teresa of Avila placed herself under his direction and motivated John of the Cross to do the same thing with the male religious branch of the Carmelites. Both of them had many crosses to bear. So John the Cross was instrumental then in reforming the Carmelite order. With the prayers and the support and the advice also of Teresa of Avila. Now, John of the Cross suffered immensely. The opposition to his reform was even more fierce. So much so that the Carmelites actually kidnapped him and imprisoned him in a cell in one of their convents. They humiliated him by stripping him and whipping him. Humiliating him. mocking him, depriving him of food. In other words, John the Cross suffered incredible humiliations as a result of his reform. But very interesting is that even during this fierce opposition that John the Cross experienced, he was given the grace by the Holy Spirit to write one of the greatest spiritual masterpieces in mystical theology. That was St. John of the Cross wrote The Dark Night of the Soul when he was imprisoned in one of the cells of the Carmelite convents that he was trying to reform. And to this very day, if you're really trying to grow in your spiritual life, you're really trying to grow in your spiritual life, The Dark Night of the Soul by John the Cross is one of the greatest spiritual masterpieces. So Teresa of Avila was instrumental in the reformation of the women's branch of the Carmelite order, and John of the Cross would be in the reformation of the male branch. Now, I'd like to talk briefly now about the contribution that Teresa of Avila had to the church in the realm of her writings. But I think this has to be said even before getting into the body of her, the corpus or the body of her writings, was the following. Teresa of Avila was once talking to a Jesuit priest. So she's living at the time of St. Ignatius of Loyola. She's a little bit younger than St. Ignatius of Loyola. But one of the early Jesuits was giving her advice. And he told her, if you really want to grow in your prayer life, then rely more and more upon the Holy Spirit. Rely more and more upon the Holy Spirit if you really want to grow deeper and deeper in your prayer life. She followed this advice. And from that time on, her prayer life started to grow more and more strongly. So Teresa of Avila, not only did she go from one place to another, founding religious houses for the Carmelites. By the way, her health was never really perfect. She sometimes complained to the Lord because her health was really not that good. And our Lord would always say to you, have I ever abandoned you? Have you ever been lacking in resources and strength when I asked you to do anything? So she was really tempted not to set up a new convent in Valencia because she was not feeling up to it. She obeyed God, and it was a huge blessing in Valencia because she obeyed God. You know, my friends, we have to learn how to obey God. If God asks us to do something, if God in His divine providence asks us to do something, God will always give us the corresponding graces to carry out what He asks of us. God is such a loving God. God is never going to ask of us what is impossible. God asks, He will always give the corresponding grace. As the Lord would say to St. Paul, "My grace is sufficient. In weakness, my power is manifest." So, let me just go through briefly. I'll whet your appetite, so to speak. On the spiritual writings of St. Teresa of Avila. By the way, talking about her writings, St. Teresa of Avila was the first woman doctor to be declared by the Church. She was declared to be a doctor of the Church in 1970 by Pope St. Paul VI. And shortly after, St. Catherine of Siena would be declared the second woman doctor of the Church. By doctor of the Church, that means her holiness as well as her learning. So we can learn a lot from Teresa of Avila, a lot. So I'd like to present to you the greatest works of Teresa of Avila. I invite you eventually to do some reading on Teresa of Avila. If you really want to go deep in our prayer life, Teresa of Avila is very, very important. Very, very important in our spiritual life. In our life of prayer. She's known to be the doctor of prayer. So the first, it would be in Spanish, La Vida, is her life. Her life. And basically in her life, you're going to see a woman in her prayer journey. And I would say one of the key elements that you can glean from this is the following. It's one of her one of my favorite quotes of Teresa of Avila, and I'll say it in Spanish and in English. Teresa of Avila says, "Debemos tener una determinada determinación para nunca dejar la oración." Spanish is very poetic. Debemos tener una determinada determinación para nunca dejar la oración. In English, we have to have a determined determination to never give up prayer. And one of the biggest obstacles, Teresa of Avila would say, in our prayer life is discouragement. We become discouraged, disheartened, and then we give up prayer. And she would insist a lot upon the importance of spiritual direction. How easy it is for us to abandon prayer when we become discouraged. We don't see anything happening. And there's a couple of chapters in her life in honor of good Saint Joseph, who healed her, and she said never did she ever turn to good Saint Joseph in which she was not blessed by his intercession. So much so, she said, that saints helped me out, but Saint Joseph works very quickly. He's the universal patron. So actually two chapters in for life, giving honor to good Saint Joseph. The next in her corpus of literary masterpieces would be in Spanish it's called El Camino de Perfección. Camino de Perfección in English would be the way of perfection. And basically what it is the following. She takes the Our Father and explains the Our Father step by step. Step by step. Step by step. Originally, this book was directed to the nuns in the convent, but now it's become a universal classic. So if you want to plumb the depths of the Our Father, pray the prayer slowly, relishing every word, but also by reading and reflecting upon Teresa of Avila's way of perfection, you can't go wrong. And finally, Teresa of Avila has written a book which is called The Interior Castle. Spanish is called Las Moradas. The Interior Castle. In this, Teresa of Avila, what she does is she uses the analogy of a medieval castle in which there are different floors or different levels. And each of the floors or stories or different levels in this castle, the different levels of prayer. This is very helpful for spiritual directors as well as very helpful for spiritual directors as well as directees. As a useful tool to see the workings of the Holy Spirit in ourselves as well as the directees, to see where they're at. For example, Teresa of Avila had already arrived at a pretty high level of prayer, and she had a spiritual director that was forcing her simply to dedicate herself to vocal prayer and leave it at that. Consequently, Teresa of Avila would get headaches because she was saying vocal prayers and kind of forcing it. And God, of course, never turns down any prayer, vocal prayer, whatever prayer, but she had arrived at a higher level. A higher level. Later on, she'd say with tongue in cheek, that director should have known better. So it's important that we as spiritual directors, priests, as well as lay people, that we be well trained. That we be well trained as spiritual directors. And really what that means is an ongoing formation. That we are trying to direct people with the help of God's grace and the Holy Spirit to constantly work on knowing our faith, studying our theology, studying mystical theology, so we won't be misdirecting anyone. So different levels of prayer. Going from the ascetical prayer to the mystical prayer. And then God willing, through the dark night of the soul, and then the mystical marriage, and then union with the divine spouse. That's Teresa of Avila, in a nutshell. And the last thing I'd like to say is that Teresa of Avila insists a lot upon, and you can read this in the Office of Readings for today, the importance of growing in prayer through contemplating the humanity of Christ. Christ is a man. Christ preaching. Christ doing miracles. Christ carrying his cross. Christ dying on the cross. The humanity of Christ is one of the best vehicles for us to be united with our Lord in deeper and deeper prayer. So let's turn to this great saint. First woman doctor of the church, Teresa of Avila, and beg to her prayers that we'll go deeper and deeper in our union with God through contemplative and mystical prayer. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.